Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. My name is Reed Lessing from the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. Our text is the Old Testament lesson for the first Sunday in Advent, Isaiah chapter 40, 1 through 11. Let me take this opportunity to invite you to look further in depth in my recent commentary that came out on Isaiah chapters 40 through 55 from Concordia Publishing House, published this month, November 2011. In that commentary, you will find much more detail, obviously, than I am able to go through in 15 or 20 minutes here. So you might check that out. Also, if you go to concordiatheology.org and hit the store menu, we'll come down and you can see a series of five Advent and Christmas sermons that I've produced for concordiatheology.org on these particular verses in Isaiah 41 through 11. So there are a couple of other resources that I've recently worked on that would enhance your study, your teaching, your preaching of really some of the richest 11 verses in the book of Isaiah, if not the entire Old Testament. So here we go. Nakamu, nakamu, ami, yomar, Elohekim. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Isaiah likes to emphasize certain aspects of divine truth by repeating them. In this case, comfort, a PL imperatives, masculine plural, excuse me, are being repeated. Isaiah in chapter 51, for example, repeats the words, wake, awake. Again, in chapter 57, verse 14, he says, build up, build up. And then, of course, the classic threefold, holy, holy, holy in 6:3. That my people, your God, harkens back to Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, where we have the Sinaitic covenant formula, where Yahweh says to Moses, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And Moses is to refer and relay that then to the Israelites. So when Old Testament authors like Isaiah want to indicate that the Sinai covenant is broken, they will frequently call the Israelites this people, not my people. This happens in, for example, Isaiah's call in chapter 6, verse 9, where Yahweh says to him, go and tell this people. Again in 29, verse 13, this people honors me with their lips. Their hearts are far from me. Those are judgment and law-based texts. But here we are in the gospel. My people, your God. The imperatives continue. Dabaru alev Yerushalayim. Another PL imperative. Speak upon the heart of Jerusalem. In this context, Jerusalem and Zion are ciphers and symbols of the people in exile. They are also feminine nouns because cities in Northwest Semitic languages are typically feminine in gender. So throughout this section of Isaiah, chapters 40 to 55, Jerusalem and Zion stand for the exiles, but because cities are feminine, the exiles are depicted then as Yahweh's wife. And the reunion is going to come in its fullest measure in chapter 54, where Zion, Jerusalem is restored because of the work of the suffering servant. All that is to say is Dabaru Alev is a idiomatic term where the husband is trying to convince his wife that he loves her still. This is romantic language. And again, this becomes quite clear throughout this entire 16 chapters. So Jerusalem, Zion, the exiles are pictured as a forlorn wife who believes that her husband doesn't love her anymore. And so Dabaru Alev is to woo and win the woman again. Then we have another imperative, this time a call imperative. Speak, call out to her. And then we have a threefold key clause. Key, that is, Tzeva'ah, her warfare, or her debt service. This is a double entendre. So her warfare is fulfilled. We can see that in chapter 47, where Babylon is going down. Israel will not have to fight any more wars. And her debt service is fulfilled because Yahweh is the Goel. He is the kinsman redeemer. He's called Goel, kinsman redeemer, some 14 times in these 16 chapters. The first one being in chapter 41, verse 14. So that's the first promise that the people in the heavenly council are being commanded to do. This is how comfort comes. This is the Dabaru Alev. This is Vekiru Eleha, and call out to her. So first of all, these members of the divine council are to announce warfare and slavery is ended. Second, her avon, her iniquity is pardoned. And third, ki lakaka bayad Yahweh, for she received from the hand of Yahweh double for all her sins. Double what? Notice that in Hebrew poetry, it is frequently understood as repetition with intensity. So the third line is going to repeat, in this case, the first two lines, the first two key clauses. So it can't be a law statement. It needs to comport with the gospel that is announced in terms of the first two key clauses. That being the case, she is to receive from Yahweh's hand double. Of course, this is elliptical. We're not quite sure double what, but in context is double comfort. So 41 and 2 really have a fourfold comfort. It begins with twofold comfort. It ends with twofold comfort. The program is clear. Yahweh is coming to restore his people with comfort. Verse 3, Kol kare ba midbar panu derek Yahweh. A voice is crying. So out of the plurality of the divine council who's being commanded by these verbs in verses 1 and 2, one voice comes out and is calling out, in the wilderness, prepare the way for Yahweh. Yahweh's coming back. We really don't get this until we look at the mere text of chapter 41 through 11, which is 52, 7 through 10. And in 52, verse 8, the last line, it says, Beshuv Yahweh Tzion, when Yahweh returns to Zion. So we want to interpret this idea of prepare the way for Yahweh in light of the fact that Yahweh's coming back. He's coming back to rescue his people in Babylonian captivity. So, and then we have more commands here. So the Arabah will be made level. Make straight, make level in the Arabah, a misalah le lohenu, a highway for our God. A misalah is for a dignitary, for a king. It's a man-made way for people to travel. Of course, in the fullness of time, John the Baptist was the Kol Kare Ba Midbar, and his announcement was exactly this. Yahweh's coming back in the person of Jesus Christ, Yahweh incarnate in the flesh. And he's coming for all people who are exiled from sin and are alienated from the Father. Verse 4, every valley will be lifted up and every mountain and hill will be made low. This is poetry, so we don't want to interpret these literalistically. Whatever is in the way of God coming to his people, that is to say, low valleys or high mountains, those will be taken care of. The crooked will be made straight, and the rough places a plain. There will be no obstacles when Yahweh comes to get his people in slavery and in exile. Verse 5, here we have a Niphal perfect, a Vav consecutive from Galah. The glory of Yahweh will be revealed. They will see Kol Basar Yakdav. Yakdav is this little adverb that appears 24 times in Isaiah 40 to 55, signaling that the program of comfort is to reunite people with God, people with one another, and all creation together. It's splintered apart, but now together is the ongoing litany throughout this section of Isaiah. All flesh will see Yahweh's glory. Why keep he Yahweh debar? This whole program is not dependent upon us, people. It's completely dependent upon Yahweh's mouth, and Yahweh's mouth speaks. It speaks double comfort. It speaks Dabaru Alev Yerushalayim, etc. And this speaking of God impels other voices to speak. In the case of verse 3, John the Baptist, finally. So the whole program is contingent on God's word, which we will see obviously classically in verse 8. A voice is saying, call. Again, we're not told who these voices are, actually, right? We're not told exactly that we're in the divine council, but this is exactly where we're at, because that's where Isaiah's call was in chapter 6, and this is simply continuing that call of the prophet among the seraphim, etc., in chapter 6. So a voice is saying, call. Preach. And here we would amend the text with a BHS, Septuagint, Vulgate, etc. And I said, what shall I call? Here, finally, Isaiah is a part of the drama. And you know, what is the message now? Kol HaBasar Katsir. All flesh is grass. Katsir is going to come four times now in the next three verses. And this accents a major thrust of the text, that the salvation that is going to be revealed when Yahweh comes back is not dependent on us, because Kol HaBasar Katsir, we're grass, and all V'kol Kazdo Kitzitz HaSadeh. And all its kezid, that would be all my covenantal love and my covenantal commitment, is like the flower of the field. This can't depend upon me or you, because certainly verse 6 says, grass yavesh. This is a stative verb called stative, a perfect, third masculine, singular. Stative verbs often have a present a tense understanding. So grass withers, flower fades. Ki ruach Yahweh, nishbabo, because the ruach of Yahweh blows upon it. Surely, akein katsir ha'am, the people are grass. The ruach Yahweh, not only is the Lord and giver of life, but he's also the dispenser of death and judgment. And this is what he's doing here is alien work. He's killing in order to make alive. Look at 1 Samuel 2, verse 6. So the big question is, after we have this monumental gospel announcement in chapter 41 through 5, the prophet is commanded to call out the grim realities that we are katsir grass. We are withering grass. We're a flower that's fading. He repeats it in verse 8, Yavesh katsir naval tzitz. Grass withers, flower fades. But here's the turn. Here's the dynamic but, or nevertheless, or however. Udavar Eloheinu yakum le'olam. So the word of our God stands forever. And this is the word that speaks quadruple comfort in verses 1 and 2. This is the word that propels someone to cry out, prepare the way for Yahweh. In chapter 55, 10 and 11, the word not only stands forever, but in 55, 10 and 11, we're told that this word is efficacious. It does what it says it's going to do. First nut, upon a high mountain, get up Mebeseret Zion. The grammatical relationship between this PL feminine participle, Besar, Mebeseret, and Zion would be appositional. That is to say, Zion is the Mebeseret, the gospeler. This is the first time Besar to gospelize appears theologically in the Bible. How big is that? And the gospel is exactly this, Hine Elohim, at the end of verse 9. So Zion is being commanded to get up on a mountain, lift up in power your voice, Mebeseret Yerushalayim, Harimi, this would be a Hifil imperative, feminine singular to go again with Zion and Yerushalayim, Al Tirai, again a feminine imperative, do not fear, Imru, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. And who is this God? This God is coming, right? He's coming back to reclaim people who are in exile with obsessions, compulsions, and addictions. And who is your God? Verse 10, Hine Adonai Yahweh. Behold, sovereign, majestic Lord Yahweh. And he will come, Yavo, in strength. And his arm, Moshalalo, his arm is ruling for him. The arm motif is huge here, and because it's repeated again in verse 11. But the point here is that the arm is ruling for him. This is a sovereign arm. This is a powerful arm. This is the same arm that we see in 52 verse 10, where Yahweh lays bare his holy arm. This is an Exodus outstretched arm that first comes in Exodus 6 verse 6. And he's ruling. And his reward is with him, his recompense follows him. The reward and recompense would be the booties or the spoil, the plunder of victory. And so there's this military parade, and Yahweh's dishing out everything that he has won for his people. Verse, and this is your God. He is tough. Right? He's this strong arm, ruling arm. But in verse 11, like a shepherd, his flock, he shepherds. And here's the compassionate arm. With his arm, yekabetz, he gathers. So here is the divine shepherd with compassion and care and the telaim, the little lambs right in his pocket he lifts up, and the alut, This would be from, I'm sorry, alot. This would be from uol, feminine plural participle. Those who have just given birth, he leads. So the great hymn, Holy, 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 puts this together for us. Merciful, verse 11, mighty, verse 10. He's sovereign, verse 10. He's saving, verse 11. He's tough in verse 10. He's tender in verse 11. The tender gathering arm is revealed in 53:1. And again, how big is that? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? And this arm then is revealed in the suffering servant who is stricken, smitten, afflicted, led like a lamb to the slaughter, like a sheep before his shearers is silent. He didn't open his mouth. This is the tender arm of verse 11. And this is your God, Hine Elohim, a God who's only strong but not compassionate is no good, but a God, conversely, who's only compassionate but isn't ultimate authority in the universe doesn't help us either. We need both. True God, true man, that's Jesus, finally, who's the perfect manifestation of verses 10 and 11. And that is your God who is coming to save you. And this then is the gospel Zion and Jerusalem are called upon to announce. God's blessings to you as you meditate on this and go forth and preach it.